Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode from The Athletic taking you through a beautiful, warm, somewhat rainy Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. So, Joe, obviously the coronavirus has taken over the conversation in the world of sports. The NBA's free agency, really the only major thing going on right now. NHL, as we know, suspended. NBA suspended. And the NBA started this ball rolling last Wednesday night when it came out that Rudy Gobert tested positive for coronavirus. Of course, the NBA suspends their season after that. And ever since then, there's been, you know, I think Donovan Mitchell tested positive. There's been a few more players in the NBA test positive. The NHL had their first player test positive from the Ottawa Senators yesterday when that happened. So it's started to creep more and more into the actual athletes and that perspective in the world of sports. And it's led the NBA to testing entire teams, like Oklahoma City. Their entire team has been tested. The LA Lakers, that's going to happen. Toronto got quarantined. All of those guys got tested. And Mayor Bill de Blasio from New York City came out yesterday and essentially criticized the league for testing entire teams for the coronavirus while there are, quote, critically ill patients who still don't have access to coronavirus testing. Adam Silver was interviewed by Rachel Nichols yesterday of ESPN and responded to those criticisms from Mayor Bill de Blasio. Here's what Adam Silver had to say.
I of course, understand his point and that it's unfortunate we're at this position as a society where it's triage when it comes to testing. And so the fundamental issue, obviously, is there are insufficient tests. I'd only say in the case of the NBA, we've been following the recommendations of public health officials. I mean, let me begin with the situation in Oklahoma City last Wednesday night. The Utah Jazz did not ask to be tested. The Oklahoma public health official there on the spot not only required that they be tested, but they weren't allowed to leave their locker room, which was for at least 4 hours after the game, where they had to stay, masks on, in the locker room. They couldn't leave until the health authorities had tested them. So, I mean, that was our first case. And then what followed when we then had an additional positive test the next day, the protocol then followed that we then followed with, again, health officials and our doctor's recommendations, that we then looked at essentially that group of teams that were most proximate to the initial team that had tested positive. And then the circle expanded from there. And so I understand it, but we've had eight NBA teams, full teams that have been tested now, and members of other teams that were showing symptoms. And again, I understand from a public health standpoint why some people reacted the way they did, but I'd say from an NBA standpoint, we were following directives. And I just add on top of that, I mean, as much credit people have given the NBA for being a first mover here. And again, think how much has changed in just a week, Rachel. Yeah. When we suspended our season last Wednesday night, no one, as far as I know, no public health official, certainly no one contacted me and said the NBA should no longer be playing.
That was Adam Silver, NBA commissioner, speaking with Rachel Nichols yesterday of ESPN. Joe, I understand what Mayor Bill de Blasio is saying, because you look at around what's happening, there's all kinds of people who haven't been tested, who don't have access to being tested, and you see these, you know, athletes who are in great physical condition, they're getting tested. You heard Adam Silver say there, eight full NBA teams have been tested along with several players on other teams. And you look at that and you're like, okay, so why are these guys getting tested when nobody else really has the access to do it? Or at least not very many people have access to be able to do it. But to me, I don't blame Adam Silver for that. We just got to have more tests. That's what it boils down to me. Like, there's just not enough tests for this virus readily available. And that's a big issue with what's been going on in our country lately.
I know it's crazy, but people with money are going to have access to better health care. Whether you like that or not in this country, that's reality in this country. Also reality, like you just said, we don't have enough testing. And the CDC 2 days ago said it is up now to 8,200 a day in terms of people getting tested. It was just 2,500 a couple days before that. So it's getting better. But South Korea is testing 20,000 a day, with obviously much smaller population. So we're not even close to that. So, yeah, like if there are critically ill people who are in line for a test and an NBA player comes and cuts in line, you know, then, I mean, I get like that's a problem, but that's not what's going on. I mean, people who – I mean, there are tests that are being privately drawn up for people who have money. I mean, that's just reality. I'm sure – you know, in Washington, there are people getting tested, too, like on the regular. And there are a lot of people who haven't been tested one time. So I just I think de Blasio's off base here. And I think, you know, Silver said, you know, eight full teams have been tested. A lot of these guys are going to end up getting tested. And a lot of people with the means are going to find a way to get themselves tested. We have, you know, it's the same thing with like a lot of people in Hollywood, too. Right. This is the reality of healthcare in this country.
And, you know, another part of Silver's comments that I thought were very interesting were, you know, he's talking about kind of the unique position that NBA players are in of both contracting the virus and also spreading the virus at the same time. And he said, quote, "This is what led to some of the testing in the league in the first place. You could put our players in a category that some would refer to as super spreaders. That is, they are young people who are working in close proximity to each other. They are traveling at great frequency. They are regularly in large groups, including the public. And the young cohort in particular, a large number of them are asymptomatic. And if they do have symptoms, they're relatively mild." So I think what Adam Silver is saying there is, look, we got to test these guys to figure out what's going on, because a lot of them aren't going to show symptoms. And if they get out in the public, you keep playing games, they're in contact with fans, I mean, all these different things, you're going to spread this virus a whole lot more rapidly than you otherwise would. So from that aspect, I agree. I think it's important to get NBA players tested because, you know, in the case of Rudy Gobert, in the case of Donovan Mitchell, both of those guys have said, I'm feeling fine. Like, I don't really have anything wrong with me, but yet they both tested positive for coronavirus.
Yeah. You know, I mean, like, there's people that have been, I mean, a week ago, I heard some of the dumbest stuff I've ever heard from people who should be smarter, you know, than to say crap like this, but talking about the low numbers of death, low numbers of positive tests. It's like we aren't testing anyone. So also on NBA players, you got the public awareness aspect of this too. I mean, if you see, you know, the hope is if the general public sees a Tom Hanks or a Kevin Durant or whoever testing positive with no symptoms or light symptoms, you get an idea of, okay, so maybe one, I could have it, and maybe two, maybe I should listen to the scientists who say that we should lock it down and have social distancing and all this stuff, and let's see if we can make this work. And so I think that there's, beyond the super spreader aspect of this, there's just the public figure aspect of it too that hopefully will help, because unfortunately, and I'm not hearing the same stuff in the last couple of days because people are like, oh, okay, so now everyone's saying it's a global pandemic. Well, the CDC said that last week, and people were still spreading ridiculous misinformation.
Yeah, and in the case for Rudy Gobert, he even admitted, I was reckless. I didn't take this seriously as I thought I should had. And maybe that was a wake up call to a lot of other people of like, hey, maybe we shouldn't joke around about this. Maybe we should be serious. Maybe we should not touch other people's stuff like Rudy Gobert was doing. And he admitted that. And so if he never got tested, he would have never known that. He still would have been walking around like it was no big deal, joking yeah. around and touching people's stuff. And it still would have been that case. So it's kind of a ripple effect of like, yeah, we tested a wealthy, rich NBA player. So what? But look, everything that happened after that. So, I mean, they tested wealthy people, but guess what? It kind of helped in the long run for a lot of other things.
Well, the funny thing about Gobert is when that happened that night, I think I was like a lot of people. So, I heard he was positive, and then I saw the video.
Yeah.
And so, my initial thought was that he knew, found out, and then he did that. I'm like, what are you? That's insane. Now, of course, he had done it 2 days earlier when he had the same attitude that most of the world or a lot of the world did about this. It was like, yeah, whatever. It's fine. No big deal. And he was joking around about it. And I mean, I give him credit for it.
He was an idiot to do that.
It was idiotic. Yes.
But I do, like, I understand it. Like,
I mean, I took his apology at face value.
Yes. And I would have, to be honest with you, you know, if I was in that great of shape and doing all these other things, I probably would have joked around about it too. Like, it's just what it is. And that's just, I think that's the way, unfortunately, a lot of us would have operated before we realized kind of the depth of how serious this stuff is. But to that point, it's a good thing Rudy Gobert's been tested, because if he hadn't been, who knows how many other things he would have touched, how many other people would be infected. And that's not a shot at him, but that's just like, that's the reality of the situation.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are in. I mean, and again, like, you've got the NBA and NHL guys using the same arenas and things like that. I mean, they are at more risk because of their jobs,
yeah,
because of what they do. So, and again, like, rich people are going to get tested for this way before a lot of other people. That rich people are going to fill in the blank on healthcare stuff before other people. That's just how it is. I'd rather know what's going on. And again, let's get more tests here so that eventually everyone can be tested.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's got to be the next step.
Or if not everyone, you know, more people who need it or who want it.
Exactly. When we come back, Coach Ed Orgeron is tackling the coronavirus issue head on in the state of Louisiana. He had some comments on it yesterday. We'll play those next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was a public service announcement from LSU head football coach Ed Orgeron, who, by the way, Joe, we're talking about, you know, like, likable figures in sports. How could you not like Ed Orgeron? Like, even Munson is an Alabama fan. I would expect that.
Surely you love Coach O. Look, I'm going to say this, and if it wasn't for Nick Saban, Coach O would probably be my favorite coach in the SEC, along with Mike Leach. Mike Leach is on that list now. And Lane Kiffin. Like, I like Lane Kiffin, too.
Even though he
ruined two of my teams, USC growing up, yeah, and then ruined the Raiders as well. But, you know, whatever. I forgive and forget.
He was like 19 then.
Yeah.
Raiders
just got out of prom, went and go coach the Raiders. It was fun. Edo, he's just a legend. That public service announcement there. And then yesterday, Edo was back at it again, leading the charge on the coronavirus front in Louisiana. Here is what Ed Orgeron had to say yesterday about the battle against the coronavirus.
I'm here on behalf of the state of Louisiana, a guy that was born in Louisiana, loves Louisiana, and the head coach of the national championship, LSU Tigers. And I want to encourage everyone to follow the game plan. I just sat in a meeting with the governor. It was the most organized, most intense meeting, most well-informed meeting that I've ever been in. I can promise you this. The state of Louisiana is fortunate to have Governor Edwards being our leader. And I tell you this, the state of Louisiana has people all over the state working as hard as they possibly can for us to get through this. Look, we all know we're from Louisiana. We're tough. We're resilient. But I encourage you to follow the game plan. Just like I asked the Tigers, man. We put 11 men on the field, and we fight like Tigers. It's about execution. It's about one team, one heartbeat. Everybody pulling together. Like this, nobody gets in between us. This is not the time to be selfish. I urge young people to stay home. Do the things that you need to do. You don't need to be out on the streets doing all kinds of stuff. This is not the time to do that stuff. I do believe that we have a winning plan. I do believe in the state of Louisiana. Hey, it's going to get tough the next 2 weeks. Come on. We tough. Bring it on. Let's just follow the plan, do the thing that we're supposed to do, and I guarantee you we will win.
That man is such a legend.
See,
I would listen to anything he says.
You know, that could easily be his speech before Alabama. Or it could be a speech about coronavirus. I don't know.
Yeah, or just be him grounding his kid, and you're still like pumped up when you go to your room and close the door. Doesn't matter what it is. Yeah, you got to love that guy, and it's good to see guys like him out there.
Yeah,
doing this
stuff. Charge. Yeah,
got to try to reach different people. Hopefully, he's reached the spring break crew, like LSU students. You know. Because
yeah.
there's some kids who need to listen right now.
There was like a viral video going around yesterday of, I guess, college students being interviewed in like Miami and Clearwater and all over the place.
Yeah.
Where they're
viral,
just like,
indeed.
Yes, viral indeed. No, I didn't even notice I did that, but you're right. But just talking about, you know, yeah, we're just going to go out and have fun, and it's our time. We're going to party here on the beach, and yeah, we'll be okay. It's all good. And I was just sitting there watching that like, oh, my God. Like, these people, I guess, somewhat are still in my generation of people. It's very disheartening. I'll put it that way.
Some, apparently, they don't have grandparents or
not.
Care about, you know, other people. I mean, this is, yeah, look, and that, there's a certain age where you're invincible and you are incredibly selfish.
Right.
Okay, so I get that.
And maybe not consciously about it.
Well, and I've thought about, like, okay, let's put myself in this exact situation when I was 21, you know, and I'm kind of go back and forth like, yeah, I would have been smarter, right? But I do know when you're that age, when you got a spring break planned, it's pretty much like get you through every day,
yeah.
You know, of school. But still, like, this is unprecedented. Like, the entire world is shutting down. Look around a little bit. I also, since we're talking about this, you know, we've been on a big takeout food thing. I encourage you to look around. There's a lot of places that are delivering now that don't normally, and there's other ways you can get food delivered. Spend money on some local restaurants and, you know, keep that business going. That's just my quick little PSA since Coach O motivated me to.
In all seriousness, look, I make fun of Coach O sometimes, and I love listening to him talk because his voice is perhaps my favorite thing on the earth. I really do. I just love it.
Yeah.
But he does deserve a lot of credit for this, for getting out in front of this, being the face of this in Louisiana, because people care what he has to say, especially in that state. They really care about what he has to say. And to see people like Roman Yossi from the Predators, he made a video yesterday just talking about the importance of making sure you're staying home, doing a good job of self-isolating yourself. Forsberg did it the other day, too, for the Predators. Like, having some of these guys that are very recognizable faces in the world of sports, especially locally, like here in Nashville with Forsberg and Yossi, in Louisiana with Coach O, like having them get out and start talking about this, I think is really helpful, and I think they deserve credit for it.
Philip Fulmer also.
Yeah,
Philip
absolutely.
Fulmer had some good stuff to say about this too. I think especially college football leaders, I think that's important. You know, reach their fan bases. SEC college football coaches, get out there and spread the word. Like, let's all do the same thing and put aside all the other crap that comes with this and listen to scientists.
Yeah, and look, I mean, my church yesterday, it came out, like, there's a guy in my church that tested positive for it, and he hasn't been around in a few weeks, but, I mean, he's literally on life support right now. I mean, it's a serious thing. And, you know, we've talked about all along how serious it is, and I think I've grasped it. But, I mean, it did hit me at a different level yesterday when there's somebody that's involved in a place that you frequently go to that has it, and not only has it, but is really struggling from it, like literally on life support. I mean, that adds a whole new level of reality to it.
Right, and there are reports out of Italy that there are people younger than the high risk group of older people that are getting serious issues from this too. I mean, there's just still a lot that isn't known about it. So it's, again, the overall, you keep coming back to, like, better safe than sorry, and just try to listen to what experts who do this for a living are saying about it. And the economy right now is terrifying. I mean, it's awful. But imagine, again, it's been a week, Robbie. We just talked about that earlier in the show. Feels like a year. It's been a week. So 2 months of this, 4 months of this, or a year of this? I mean, like, you know, your mind can wander on this thing. All I know is it sure seems like the smarter everyone is right at this moment, the shorter it will be.
Nate from Nashville texts in and says, certain delivery apps like Uber Eats last night had certain restaurants with zero delivery fees, I guess because of the virus, so we took advantage. There's a lot of options out there in terms of delivery, the fees being waived, all kinds of stuff, and that part's been nice to see, you know, companies trying to step up and help out in any way that they can. And I agree with you, what you said earlier, Joe, if you have the financial, and look, I get it. You mentioned the economy. This is a really scary time for a lot of people. This is an uncertain time for a lot of people. And I get a lot of you are saying, look, I just don't have the money right now to be thrown out there and going and spending at places. And I get that. I totally understand that. If you are in a position where you do have money that you can help support some of our local businesses, it would be really awesome to do that. And because certainly some people going through, and I've got some friends personally that are, you know, they work in the restaurant industry. They work at bars downtown and they're struggling right now because they don't have any idea when this is going to end. They don't have any idea when their place of employment is going to come back. Like even myself to a lesser degree, like I'm not getting paid by the NHL right now. I mean, I have no idea when that's going to start happening again. So very real challenges out there.
Oh, no doubt. And the instinct, the impulse is like, okay, lockdown and you know, we can make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich tonight. Think about what it would do, at least here and there, if you can spare some money to go out and support a local business. And a lot of them, I know, you know, in Nolensville, I know of a couple restaurants for sure that have gone, that were never delivering, that are now delivering for free because of this. Because lot more and more, you're seeing places close down their dining rooms. So they are, you know, still making food and they'll bring it to you. And yeah, look around because there's a lot more of that right now.
Yeah, it's a crazy time we're living in. And to think this time last week we were having a discussion, is the NHL going to follow suit and shut down their season today? Like, we don't know. Of course, we did know. This is exactly what it's been. And look, we talked with Adam yesterday, like, I thought this time last week, from a sports perspective, maybe it's mid-April, maybe it's late April, but at some point, like, we're going to be back here and we're going to play, we're going to finish out the NBA season, we're going to finish out the NHL season. And really since then, I'm not going to say that I've abandoned hope that that's going to happen, but I'm probably leaning more in the direction now of probably pretty likely those seasons are going to get canceled. Like, I don't know that, obviously, but it's...
No, I mean, look, I won't be surprised at all. This is where, then in my mind, it's like, because it's been several weeks, and there's not, but it's like, oh, yeah, it has been 1 week. I mean, I'm waiting for, you know, more data, more testing, more data, any sort of indication that some of the measures that are being taken dramatically and rapidly are working. I think until we have that, it's still hard to project, but you got to condition yourself for that possibility, certainly right now. You have to.
When we come back, what kind of a division do we expect this year's AFC South to be? Now that the Houston Texans are making moves, the Colts are signing quarterbacks, the Jacksonville Jaguars are trading off everybody on their roster, what do we expect the division to look like? We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode. Apparently Justin Bieber as well, with Munson bringing in the tracks here.
I mean,
what is that?
It's called Diversity.
I know,
music.
I like it.
You like this song. You know you do.
I do.
Actually,
I don't mind the Biebers.
See, old Biebs, New Biebs, okay. I'm a mixture of. Like, he has a couple songs. Like, he has some songs with Chance the Rapper. Yeah. He has that song. Like, those are cool Biebers. Like, old Bieber, like, Baby Bieber.
Baby Bieber?
Like, no, Baby Bieber.
It's a little rough.
Yeah, I can't listen to Baby Bieber.
Can't get there at all, but hey. Old guy.
Your, it's not your
old guy in the mic.
He can't get
it's
there.
Not your music, Joe. I got okay. something for you yeah. next segment. Yeah, how about that, Joe?
It'll be all right.
Hey, normally you're coming in with Prince Pop Life and, you know, NWA. I'm a happy man.
Well, I got you next. Since I gave Robbie the Justin Bieber and he loved it, I got you next.
I mean, Coach O segment, you come in with CCR Born in the Bayou. I mean, yeah. again, man, like I appreciate
He's a legend.
It, okay?
Munson is an absolute legend.
That's right.
With his musical selections.
I see what you're putting down over there.
Yeah.
You throw in a Bieber every now and then, you know, you get a mulligan.
You got to cater, like I noticed, like, because sports radio is everybody.
Yeah.
It's for everybody. Yeah. So you got to play music, bump music for the masses. I can't just play country because we're in Nashville,
yeah.
Tennessee, and I play country 16 segments a show. No, I can't do that. So I got to branch out.
You could. You would make good. Robbie a little bit happier.
I would love it.
I know you would. But
by the way, that brings
he knows
up something.
Every song.
That brings up something that, like, why is it that when the Predators go on the road, like, every team decides to have, like, a country night at that time? Like, hey, we're in Anaheim here. The Nashville Predators are in town. Let's have a country night at Honda Center here in Anaheim.
So it happens all over. Because you guys like it, you love it, you want some more of it.
I guess so.
That's probably why.
That is interesting. Is that, like, to honor the Predators?
That's what I was trying to figure out.
Or is it, like, to make fun of the Predators?
Like, I don't know.
I don't know.
Because I would think, if I was like, okay, yeah, let's put a little Nashville feel to this thing. I'd want to stay as far away from that as possible if I'm another team.
Right.
It's just me. That's one thing I've already – I think Montreal did it the other night, too.
Huh.
While the Predators were there, and I was just like, what is
Yeah, usually
is
you don't
this?
See the home team cater to the visiting
yeah.
team.
It's one of those things. I always try to figure that out. Joe, we've been talking about the AFC South, and obviously we've talked about the Hopkins situation being traded to Arizona. Makes you feel pretty good if you're a Titans fan about your chances against Houston next season. Indianapolis makes a big move to bring in Phillip Rivers as their quarterback. Still has Jacoby Brissett as the backup, so you feel decent about their quarterback situation. Probably not great. I mean, Phillip Rivers, he'll be, what, 39 years old next year? And I watched him play a couple times last year, including when he played against the Titans. It just kind of seems to me like his skill set is deteriorating very quickly. And even though Brady is older, and obviously Brady's the better quarterback and has been, I think I feel better about, like, Brady's physical standing right now than I do Phillip Rivers at this point.
Yeah, I agree. The Colts, it's really interesting because, I mean, I guess this is it's a win-now move. You know, they went and they took on DeForest Buckner's $21 million to bring him in. Now they go get Phillip Rivers. So you have to look at what they're doing and say, okay, they're trying to go for it. I don't feel great about their chances.
Is that the go-for-it move? Yeah.
So if you were going to do this and go for it and go pay someone who's an established quarterback who's going to command a big number, yeah, I'd pick Tom Brady over Phillip Rivers.
Like, and it sounds like Rivers has kind of been their guy all along that they've gone after. Like, obviously we don't know this, but it almost seems like they just didn't give Brady much consideration whatsoever.
And that could be, again, there's always, with any of this stuff, there's always back channels too,
sure.
And you don't know. And maybe it was as simple as early on, it was just the feeling or the knowledge, like Brady would not have been interested in Indianapolis.
Right.
Okay, maybe that's it. I mean, you're never going to get a straight answer, you know, from Chris Ballard on, you know, comparing Rivers to Brady. But, yeah, just taken as A or B, it's just like we were talking about with Tannehill Brady. Like, if it's just as simple as pick one, I'm picking Tannehill.
Yeah.
Laugh at me if you will, but I'm picking Tannehill right now. So if it is that simple with those two, I'm going to go Brady. So I don't know.
Let me ask you this.
There's a Wright Rivers connection, too.
Because this just kind of popped into my head. Talking about Brady's potential interest in the Colts. Like, how much do you think if you're Brady, you think about it in terms of, all right, I'm friends with Peyton Manning. He played there for a long time. I'm not going in there to where Peyton used to play and put myself through all that. And, they're compared enough together anyway. If I'm Brady, it just kind of seems to me like that's something that would have entered his mind.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to Indianapolis for no other reason than Peyton used to be there.
Yeah, that's true. And I think the average Colts fan probably hates Brady so much that they couldn't, you know, it's like, I don't want this. I don't want, and especially you don't want him again at 43. So yeah. It's kind of like, yeah, it just doesn't. It's just not right, you know. Maybe it's that simple.
Something feels off about that.
Now, I know I've seen some stuff with Brady about, you know, the decision, including the, you know, closer to New York thing. Although I think actually the flight would be shorter from Indy to New York than from Tampa. But I guess technically because you're just like in the, you know, you're on the East Coast.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Eastern time zone, I guess.
Again, like unless you're really, really close, you're an hour and a half flight. So, or you know, from Tampa, you're a 2.5 hour flight. From Indy, you're an hour and a half flight. I don't know what that matters, but yeah, the Colts. It's interesting. Maybe Phillip Rivers will surprise me and come out this year and just be great. But I don't have high expectations for him or them.
Let me ask both of you guys this then. Now, I know it's going to be Super Bowl expectations for Tom Brady, so I'm not going to put that pressure on Phillip Rivers.
Right.
But let's go just division only. And you look at both divisions, obviously, when you look at Brady's division, he has a lot of competition over there to try to defeat. And so does Phillip Rivers. Who is more likely to win the division, at least?
Man, that's a good question. I would probably honestly say Phillip Rivers with Indy just because you've got New Orleans in that other division if you're Tom Brady.
Right.
And then, like, you also, like, late in the season now, Atlanta played horrible in the first half of that season. Played completely different the second half of the season.
They did.
So they're another team, and they still got Julio Jones, Matt Ryan.
That's one got Dante Fowler.
Yeah. So you still got to look out for them, and then also – we don't know what this Carolina team's going to look like. Still got Christian McCaffrey over there. You got Teddy Bridgewater. So I think, yeah, that's a lot tougher division to win than, you know, the Colts only having the Titans and maybe Houston, depending on how Houston's going to play this year.
Yeah. No, I would agree. I would say, I mean, honestly, right now the Titans are a weaker football team than they were last year. When you take Conklin and Casey off those lines of scrimmage – and, I mean, forget the Jags. We'll just put them like they're in their own division now. And the Texans are certainly a weaker football team. You take away
best wide receiver in the NFL.
I mean, and you add David Johnson and Randall Cobb. So, I mean, if you're a Colts fan right now, you at least look around and say, right at this moment, what have the Colts, you know, if you just compare last year's roster to right now, are the Colts better? I think Rivers is an upgrade over Brissett, although – I don't think it's as massive as some people think. Brissett struggled late in the year. What about him back in New England, by the way?
Yeah. Adam tossed that out yesterday. Vingan was bringing the noise,
you know,
about Brissett going back to New England.
I mean, they obviously know him well. And then, you know, they certainly, the Buckner move absolutely strengthens their defense. So they have actually, right at this moment, improved themselves more than anyone. So, yeah, you would have to go with that. And if you can do that, then, you know, who knows what you can do if you can win the division. Rivers is also a guy, though, to me that just, I mean, how many times have we seen him throw, like, the bad pick late in the important game? I'm sorry. I know the guy has put together some monster numbers, had a heck of a long career, really good career. I don't trust him.
I don't either. And I watched him play, I think it was against Oakland last year on, like, a Thursday night football game in November. And just some of the passes he threw in that game, you're just like, dude, what are you doing? It was like Jameis Winston-esque. That's how bad it was.
No, I remember that exact game, and I thought the exact same thing. And at times it looks like he struggles to get the ball 25 yards on the field. Now, again, this defense here in Nashville can attest to him in the fourth quarter of that game all of a sudden catching fire and, you know, zing after zing after zing, and should have won the game because of it. So you got to keep that in mind. He still had an overall good year, but there's just times when I really am watching him and I'm like, man, hang it up, buddy.
I tell you what this does do. It ruins my theory, my conspiracy theory, that Indy was going to tank this year and go from Peyton Manning as your quarterback to Andrew Luck to then Trevor Lawrence from Clemson. I think that's out the door. I think they're going to be good enough where they're not going to be able to get Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah. I wonder who is like the leader in the clubhouse to be the tank team to get Trevor Lawrence.
I mean, Jacksonville, probably.
Yeah, maybe.
God bless Trevor Lawrence if he ends up in Jacksonville.
Yeah,
maybe that's the plan, huh?
Start Gardner Minshew for a season.
But Minshew's not terrible, but they'll be bad.
But they'll be pretty bad.
They'll be bad. Will they be that bad? Who could be like 1-15 bad next year? Who could be 1-15, 2-14 bad?
Oh, man.
Could the Redskins be that bad?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Redskins, I could see them.
The Redskins could definitely be that bad. I mean, even the Chargers, if you start the whole year and like Tyrod Taylor's your quarterback, even if you draft somebody this year, like we've seen it with Arizona. They drafted Josh Rosen and then had the number one overall pick the next year, and Kyler Murray was there, and then like, yeah, sorry, Josh Rosen, we'll see you later.
I think this is what I think. I think the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes is going to come down to Jacksonville, the Bears,
yeah,
and maybe the Lions.
Ooh. Lions still paying Matt Stafford, but I mean, that's the thing. That's like their only not problem they don't have, really, is quarterback. But yeah, the Bears, are they going to be that bad? Gosh, you're right, though. I mean, the Cardinals, I mean, there aren't, you know, just about everyone has some kind of quarterback of the future. But yes, the Cardinals are a great example of you can quickly change your quarterback of the future. Yeah, Redskins and Jags might be that. That might be it.
And we used to be able to put AFC East teams in this conversation, like the Bills and the Jets, the Dolphins. But now that big-time Tommy, he's gone from New England, those teams I think will be better. I mean, Buffalo's going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
The Jets with Sam Darnold, if he can stay healthy, they'll be okay. Miami, I like a lot of what they've done so far in free agency.
We assume they'll have Tua.
You would assume they'll have Tua. I think they'll be okay. Now, a lot of that's going to depend on whether or not Tua can play. But even Fitzmagic, baby. You bring him in there, you can get really good Ryan Fitzpatrick for about 5 games, and you can get really bad Ryan Fitzpatrick for about 10 games.
Could Denver? That's the thing. I mean, Denver. You know, Denver just got Jarrell Casey.
I think
they're paying him.
I think Drew Locke has an opportunity. I don't know if he's the future of the Denver Broncos, but I definitely think this is going to be the year where he has the opportunity to showcase that. Because, I mean, they bought into him early on. Like, they drafted him pretty high. So, you know, they'll probably give him a season to play it out. But I think he's an option. But even if I can get Trevor Lawrence, I'm getting Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I mean, Burrow's going to Cincy, Tua to Miami. Yeah, you look at this league, and I know it's probably like this every year, but man, it just looks like so many 8-8 teams in this league, which is exactly what the NFL wants. But you know, it's really hard to be great and also to be just awful in this league.
It is very hard.
The Bengals, you know, Redskins pulled it off last year.
They did. When we come back, what should the Titans do about their backup quarterback position? We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic.
Cash rules everything around me.
Look at him. He got it in there before it started going. Munson, you've made his day once again.
There you go.
Joe's going to be a happy man the rest of the show.
Best album ever.
Is cheek to cheek. That smile's just going wild here in the studio. Joe, obviously, the Titans have locked up Ryan Tannehill, and the question now becomes, who is going to be the backup quarterback? Now that Ryan Tannehill has his deal, they finally got the backup position addressed last year. Mariota was the starter, Tannehill was the backup, and even when the roles flipped, you felt okay. Like, if something happened to Tannehill, Mariota would be able to come there and do a better job than most every backup quarterback in the NFL should be able to do. That's the next step of what the Titans had to figure out. What's your plan for your backup quarterback? Tim Hasselbeck joined Darren Donick and Chase yesterday to offer his thoughts on the backup quarterback position for the Titans. Here's what Hasselbeck had to say.
Yeah, so like Flacco could be in the mix somewhere. He's made a lot of money, so the budget for a guy that's won a Super Bowl that's backup, I think, would be significantly high. Look, I think you can pay less for a backup with Ryan Tannehill as your starter than you would have kind of probably wanted to when you had Marcus Mariota, you know, not making a second contract starting quarterback money, right? So I think because of the deal that Tannehill just signed, you probably have to be a little bit less expensive. And so, listen, maybe Logan Woodside's in a situation where, you know, he's a legitimate option and he's going to compete for the job. And he obviously, as backup quarterbacks go, is going to be, you know, considered inexpensive compared to other guys. I also think you can kind of just, you can wait things out a little bit. I mean, you go look at the situation, with the Colts right now. So now, I don't know exactly the situation without looking it up, but let's just say, for example, that, okay, Phillip Rivers is there for a year. Jacoby Brissett, they may not move him, but they might. So, he could move somewhere, which means maybe a backup somewhere else ends up somewhere. Well, then what happens to somebody like Brian Hoyer? So Brian Hoyer wouldn't be, crazy expensive, but, he would be a guy that, I think ends up, kind of being a good backup somewhere. So, you got the Brian Hoyer situation. Then you can have the draft. Guys are going to get drafted, and so the situation in Miami could change significantly. And, wherever Jameis Winston goes, is going to change the situation. So I just think there's going to be so much movement with guys because there's still so much movement to happen.
That was Tim Hasselbeck yesterday on Darren Donick and Chase. Joe, what do you think the best route is for the Titans to take in terms of addressing the backup quarterback position?
Well, it's probably signing one of these guys. I think Logan Woodside definitely is improving, and I thought last preseason, you saw significant improvement. But the question has to be, who can you have someone at two at quarterback that can come in, win you a game in the National Football League if you need it? And Ryan Tannehill he's going to be 32 when the season begins, and he's had significant injuries.
Yeah.
So this doesn't feel like it felt with Mariota, where, when you talk about especially the nerve thing that he had in 2018, the broken leg, he had knee stuff earlier in his career. It doesn't feel like that, but probably just because last year Tannehill was healthy. It wasn't long before that he had injury stuff. So I think you got to go look, you got more money now. Although we don't know how it's all going to be used, and if you're a Titans fan, you hope a lot of it is used on a significant defensive piece, but I think you got to go try to get one of these. And there's a lot of, unless I'm missing something, I haven't seen many of these guys sign. There's a whole bunch of, now Keenum just got signed, right? Case Keenum just got signed, but you got like your Jeff Driscoll's. And your Colt McCoys, you've got Drew Stanton, Brett Hundley, Josh McCown. A lot of familiar backup quarterback names out there. Trevor Siemian, and you've got guys who have been here before. Blaine Gabbert, Alex Tanning.
Bring him back, baby.
You got Cody Kessler. Now someone just signed Chase Daniel too, I believe, right?
Yes.
Where did he go? Where'd Chase Daniel go? There's too much movement now for me to keep track of.
The Lions.
Okay, that's right. Okay, Chase Daniel went to the Lions. You got Chad Henne. There's Hasselbeck mentioned Hoyer. I think you've got to get one of these guys. I just ran through a list of names. I don't feel strongly about any of
those
names.
Inspire you?
No. Whoever it is not going to be inspiring. Like when they went from Castle to Gabbert, it was like, okay, that's better.
Yeah.
And then you saw Gabbert, and hey, he did win them. A fake punt did it more than him, but he still won him a game against the Texans. Huge win.
Yeah.
He made some big throws in that game. Couldn't win him the game against the Colts, but he was an upgrade. And then you felt like another upgrade when Tannehill came in 1 year ago. Like, okay, yeah, that's better. You never know. Tannehill a year ago versus now. Look at the difference. None of these guys, there is not one name on here that they'll sign that people are going to be excited about. But I think it's probably the move as opposed to just leaving it to Woodside.
I would agree. And Brian Hoyer interests me. I think that's an interesting name because, probably not going to be a ton expensive. He's a guy that, you could bring in, like you said, Joe, none of these guys are going to wow you. And you're hoping that you never have to use one of these guys. Like we knew heading into last year, there was at least a chance, and probably a pretty good chance, that at some point Ryan Tannehill was going to have to see action. Now, a lot of us thought it may be because of injury, because Marcus, I mean, he just gets hurt. That's what he does. But you're hoping, if you're the Titans, you can keep Tannehill upright like they were able to do last year, and the backup quarterback will never see the field. I think it's safe to say that regardless of who they bring in, you're not going to be in as good of a situation from a quarterback depth standpoint as you were in last year. And this is what I'm about to say is not, you know, earth-shattering or anything like that. It's basically how every team in the NFL operates. But this year, like, if Tannehill goes down, I mean, you're going to be up a creek. Like, it's going to be really hard to win games after that. And yeah, it's not impossible. You may be able to win a few, but, like, if Tannehill goes down at, like, the midway point of the season, you're not going to make the playoffs. That's just – that's the way it's going to be.
Well, and that's the thing. How many teams in this league are like, okay, we're fine. Next man up. We got depth at every spot. We're good at QB. How many teams in this league would not be screwed if they lost their starting quarterback?
Right now, maybe Indy. That's about it.
Like, I mean, the Raiders are now better. Yeah. The Raiders have a guy, you know, you feel pretty good about. But seriously, go through the entire league. I mean, first of all, go through the entire league and name the backups. I guarantee you it's hard for people to get through to do for half the teams in the league. I'm going through. I mean, I guess, you know, the Saints have had a great situation. They had Bridgewater, and they had Mr. Swiss Army Knife, Taysom Hill. So, hey, that's a great kudos. That's a great situation. Very few teams have a good situation or even an okay situation. You're going to be in deep trouble if you lose your starter. So the Titans are going to be in the same boat as most teams. Of course, you want to try to make it better as good as you can. You're going to have to give up something. That's something that most teams have to just come to terms with, because yep, there are very few humans on Earth who can play that position well.
When we come back, John Glennon from The Athletic will join us here on the show. We'll ask him about the Titans' plans at backup quarterback. Also, what does the Jarrell Casey trade signal to him? We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive. First, 102.5 The Game will no longer be at the Walmart at 3600 Mallory Lane in Franklin today from 10 to 6 p.m., but we are still accepting donations for Pencil to Give to the schools that were severely affected by the tornado. To donate, go to give.classy.org/thegame4schools. Again, that's the number 4. That's give.classy.org/thegame4schools. Our communities are tough, and we will come out of this disaster stronger than ever. John Glennon coming up next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack, craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Saving money on everything for your next project. Now at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of bagged concrete and mortar mixes. Whether you're pouring a walkway, concrete slab, or setting a post, we have the right product at the best price to complete your project. Shop our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now. Save big.